to request you to be attentive, like you always are. Because we will have an exercise a little later, which is dependent on your absorption of some subjects which we will talk about now. We are discussing therapeutic listening. And Prabhupada gives a little definition here, or a little summary, what happens when we listen to Shastras and become affected in our hearts by them, so that there is a transformation. He says, the whole process really is to enliven the sleeping conditioned souls to the real life of spiritual consciousness, so that they may thus become as perfect as the ever-liberated souls in the Vaikuntha Lokas, or the parrots. Parrots, we have heard that you don't talk much. Today you talk much. Yes, so please. Take the Shastra in your ear and heart. Since the Lord is Sachit Ananda Vigraha, he likes every part and parcel of his different potencies to take part in the blissful rasa, because participation with the Lord in his eternal rasa lila is the highest living condition, perfect in spiritual bliss and eternal knowledge. See, Lord Krishna so much wants to have loving relationships with each one of us. So the whole process really of Krishna consciousness, or in this case, listening to the Shastras, is to enliven us. To enliven us, because only a person who is enlivened in his relationship with Krishna can participate with Krishna. You know, the different types of devotees have different rasas. And for instance, for the parents of Krishna, who are in Vatsalya rasa, there are different stimuluses which enliven them. The parents, for instance, become stimulated, or it's called an udipan, become moved by an udipan. That is when they look at the age of their child. Particularly, it's the Kumara Lila. Kumara Lila, I'm so very bad with names, with numbers. What was it again? Up till 5 years, isn't it? Am I correct? Up till 5 years, good. The parents, when they see Krishna's childish movements, they become very, very enlivened. For instance, once Krishna wanted, he felt Mother Yashoda had not given him attention because of cooking. So Krishna purposefully, when he sat next to Nanda Baba and was eating his childlike food, he saw the chili in Nanda Baba's plate, which is a grown-up food, and he purposefully picked the chili and ate the chili, and then he began to scream. Rah, rah, rah. So his mother was enlivened by this. She ran out of the kitchen. She couldn't cook. She could not continue her cooking. And when she saw how Krishna was in a child-like movement, making like this, ma, 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 rubbing over his throat, Mother Yashoda was totally stimulated in her love. This time, in anxiety. Oh, what have you done? Nanda Baba, how could you allow any mishappening to happen to Krishna? Nanda Baba said, I only know my chili is half beaten and I have not eaten it yet because I'm waiting for the sabjis to come. So then Mother Yashoda knew, and Krishna was making a big movement like this, and she brought immediately, she took him on her lap and a was blowing on his throat, but Krishna was not stopping his childlike movement. Then Mother Yashoda personally ran into the kitchen and got the best of buttermilk, which has a cooling effect, and poured it into the throat. So she becomes enlivened because she has a certain type of love in her heart. This is a certain bhava, a certain ras, vasalya ras, and by these different udipans or different things, the love for Krishna becomes enlivened. Other things are Krishna's talk. When Krishna talks very much, "Oh mother, I want to eat this," but Krishna, this is not a butter sweet. This is a moon. So Krishna enlivens her by this talk. "I want to eat the moon." You know. Also, when Krishna smiles, that is very much an udipan for Mother Yashoda. And when he moves enchantingly his eyes. This morning we heard about three udipans, which are there for all Krishna's devotees. It's his glance when Krishna looks at you. It's Krishna's tremendously attractive fragrance which emanates from him. And it is Krishna's wonderful flute play. So these create attractive potency through which the love which is there in the heart of the devotee becomes pulled out. Once Mother Yashoda, who had this Vatsalya Prem, hid herself behind the pillars of the house because she wanted to see how Krishna very stealthily and secretly entered the house and stole butter. And she said to a nearby friend who was also hiding and looking, "Just look at Krishna looking so secretly towards all sides and slowly stepping forward from the bushes. It appears that he is coming just to steal the butter. Oh, my dear friendly cowherd lady, don't expose yourself, or he may understand that we are looking toward him. I want to enjoy the sight of his eyebrows moving in a cunning way." Cunning means clever. "And I want to see his fearful eyes and his beautiful face." This is how you can see how Mother Yashoda looks out for the udipans or the stivolins, which bring out her, loving mood for Krishna. It's called, here you see two elements which are necessary for rasa. Vibhava, it's called Vibhava. It's the Alambana Bana, that is Krishna and the devotee, and the Udipan, that what stimulates, what brings out. For instance, if Gaurahari has in himself something with languages, so if I would now speak to him French, he would not like it. His Gaurahari appears to be a very friendly person, but you must see him when someone jokes about French with him. Then his anger manifests, which is there in the heart, and which comes out by this stimuli. Similarly, I believe every one of us, when stimulated in a certain way, something which is hidden becomes manifest. Huh? So here in the devotee, that love is there, this tremendous amount of love, and it is stimulated by Lord Krishna's age, childish movement, talk, smile, enchantment of the movement. And that when the love is stimulated like this, the result is what you call an anubhava, a voluntary expression, that which comes after the vibhava, after the first ingredient of rasa. For instance, in the Vatsalya Prema, I want to talk about Vatsalya Prema as an example to bring out what rasa or relish in Krishna consciousness means. The devotee might respond and express his love by a sita anubhava. A sita anubhava is an expression which doesn't require so much movement. In other words, Mother Yashoda might, after she has seen Krishna stealing the butter and looking fearfully, and Mother Yashoda might just come forward and embrace her darling son. That's an anubhava, which follows the love. But there are also anubhavas which require a lot of movement, like they are called chepana, and this is like rolling on the ground and dance wildly in ecstasy. Mother Yashoda does do this very rarely, but in Chaitanya Lila we see a lot of these anubhavas, how the devotees roll on the floor, and how they dance around wildly. It's a response to the loving emotion which is expressed voluntarily. Then there are involuntarily responses. They are called sattvika bhava, like being stunned, perspiring, hair stand on end. This morning we heard about this, that Krishna showed this sattvika bhava. One of his friends was telling Krishna, "My dear Lord Krishna, why do you watch Radharani? Because when you watch Radharani, we see your tears are watering and nourishing the hairs which are standing on ecstasy on your transcendental body. So please look somewhere else." Like this. So when Krishna conscious emotion, Rupa Goswami says, appears, that is the rasa appears and begins to strongly manifest, it first appears in the heart, then in the mind, and then from the mind it wanders all over, it wanders into the pranas, the 10 pranas, and that means all over the body. The devotee becomes absorbed in spiritual emotion. So, it is said one drop of this rasa is deeper than the deepest of ocean, and it does say in Chaitanya Charitamrita that even a drop of this prema is entirely sufficient to drown, that means to satisfy the whole world. If a small drop, my dear devotees, is drowning you, Bhakta Sergio, imagine a whole ocean of Krishna conscious emotion. That is what we are looking for. The world can never give us this rich emotional experience. It is with Krishna. And yesterday, when you all chanted and listened to this wonderful rendition of our Bhagavati, of the Mukta Charita, the Pearl Leela story, and you listened, I could see in some of you how you were starting with Krishna, with loving emotions. You were, some of you were smiling. In some of your cases, the smile was so big that one could see the teeth slightly manifesting. Some of you were laughing so that one could see all the teeth, including the holes in the mouth. I was watching very amazed and with great relish how you were reacting. Not the holes, the fillings, I wanted to say. In this way, you were starting to react or respond to Lord Krishna. You were becoming awakened, in other words, to the beginnings, let us say, the blinking of the rays. You know, when there's a fog and some rays of the sun blink through, the blinking of the rays of true Krishna conscious emotion. And you were happy and you were thinking, oh yes, this is what I want. And it did not matter to you. Like yesterday I spoke to one of you, and it was a Mataji who reported from the Mataji ashram that almost every one of us is sick. either diseases related with the head or anyways with gravitation laws. But we are all very blissful. Very nice. And our voice of fatigued slightly or greatly, and going through their things, their deep thoughts, their purification. But the moment this little ray of Krishna's attractive feature touches our heart, we feel enthusiastic and we like to sing and we like to scream out loudly Jai Jai Radhe Shyam without looking what our neighbor does. We are free from social conventions and so on and so forth. This is what it means to enter a little tiny bit with maybe a fraction of the outer skin of the outer toe, the ocean of rasa, which makes the conditioned souls happy. It is something which Krishna gives to even to a beginner who comes to the holy dham and listens to his wonderful pastimes. A feeling that here he is at home, a feeling that he does not want to go anywhere else. Yes. So Krishna helps, in other words, when he sees someone is engaged in hearing his wonderful katha. There's a verse which is well known to us. Please do chant it along with me. If you are familiar with the verse, Shrinvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shavana Ketana Rityantasto Shabadrani Vidunoti Suritsatam. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the indwelling soul or Paramatma in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses the desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous, that means full of power, when properly heard and chanted. I believe this shloka summarizes a lot of what we have discussed so far. Especially it also highlights the last morning session class, where we were exploring a little bit what it means to properly hear these messages so that they become activated. I would now request you to turn to your next door neighbor, next side neighbor, and talk with him or reveal to him what enlivens you in Krishna consciousness? What makes you feel alive? You have 5 minutes.
Seats again?
I would like to suggest that to enliven yourself in Krishna consciousness, you learn to have sadhu sangha through with Sugadev Goswami, with Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, with Srila Prabhupada, and hear from them the life-giving tonic, the Bhakti Rasayana of Krishna Katha. There's a verse which talks about this Rasayana, or this enlivening tonic of Krishna consciousness. It appears in the Bhagavatam, second canto, second chapter, verse 37. Pibanti ye Bhagavatat, pibanti pibanti ye Bhagavatat manasatam katamritam shravana puteshu sambritam punanti te visaya vidusitasam prajanti tacharana saroruhantikam. Those who drink through oral reception, fully filled with the nectarian those who drink through oral reception the nectarian message of Lord Krishna, the beloved of the devotees, purify the polluted aim of life known as material enjoyment, and thus go back to Godhead, to the lotus feet of Him. Those who drink through oral reception the message of Lord Krishna, they actually purify the polluted aim of life. That means they get another goal of life than a material goal of life. They actually gain confidence in the wonderful nectarian message of Krishna. So these messages of Krishna are distributed over the world through the devotees of Krishna, who wander at Krishna's will, I would say, and who help the conditioned souls. And it's really, in my opinion, very, very important how to have association with these devotees. It's important to know how to access the nectar which a devotee has. We hear often this is done through service, through submission. Then the devotee will be mercifully inclined to treasure or to share his treasures. You can also approach the modern devotees who are like Haridas Thakur, and ancient devotees who are like Sugadev Goswami. I'm purposefully attracting your attention by saying modern devotees are Haridas Thakur. Modern, 500 years ago. Wake up to the reality. Modern is what happened yesterday or what has not yet happened. No, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says it's very difficult to find these devotees, and he relays us to now I'm speaking of these devotees who have really the treasures of rasa in their heart. Huh? It's really not some wonderful devotees who are on the path of their own improvement in spiritual life. I'm really speaking of these accomplished great souls who can share this with others. I feel it's so important to know how to approach modern devotees and ancient devotees. Of course, also contemporary devotees is necessary. To drink through oral reception the message of Krishna. What happens in this context is ruchi appears, taste appears in Krishna consciousness. I often have this when I listen to a tape of Srila Prabhupada. I must admit that I'm a person who is not so very sensitive for spiritual truth. So some tapes hit me more than others. Some, when he talks about some subjects, hit me more than others. I remember one particularly difficult time for me. It was in Serbia, and I had again overdone it. Those who know me know that I sometimes know no limits of time, and I had preached every day up till 1 o'clock in the morning and risen, and then after 1.5 days, weeks of this pace, I had burnout. You know what happens to every human being. I felt I will no longer see a human being. I have enough of these people who are just starting their spiritual life, or who are on the path and who have so many mind issues. And I was really locking myself up in the room and decided to read till I die. I remember I was not in good... I was really... burned out and had the normal psychological symptoms, you know, not wanting to see anyone, just burnout. I don't want to burden you with what is a burnout. I ate prasadam, and while I ate prasadam, I said, well, I need here some enlivenment. I mean, I'm here only, and I should come back to my normal state of Krishna consciousness. So let me do something spiritual. Prasadam eating is spiritual, so then I will augment it, and I listen to a lecture. And I remember I put on a lecture, and it was that lecture. It just was the next one in the CD album, and I just picked it up. I didn't even look what was the title or where it was given. I just put it in. It was a lecture of the deity installation in Los Angeles of Srila Prabhupada, where at the end he starts to cry. You are dealing with Krishna, he says. Be very careful. Krishna. All of a sudden, he has spoken up till now in normal voice. Then all of a sudden his voice became choked up. Krishna, I have brought this insignificant service to you. Please accept. And then, you know, he cries in his beautiful way, and thank you very much. Then he ends his lecture like this. And I remember I was inattentive while listening to the lecture because I was in Maya. So I just ate and just listened intellectually. Okay, this point, that point. Okay, that point I've heard many times. Okay. All of a sudden I listened on another level. We have talked about this yesterday. So, what? Wait a minute. Put the prasadam down. Washed my hand. I didn't even wash my hand. I just somehow, you know, with a blade on replay. Have I heard properly? There was again, you're dealing with Krishna. Please be very careful. Krishna, I have brought this insignificant thing to you. Please accept. Oh my God. Have I heard this correctly? Again, I needed to play it back because I was very covered by the syndromes of burnout. I heard it a third time, and then it really struck me. Here is a pure devotee who does his service as a personal offering to Krishna. And something came in my heart from this, from hearing this, which was just, I thought, and here I'm in Serbia and I don't want to see anyone. I have the greatest chance in my life to do some insignificant service to Lord Chaitanya's preaching mission, and I don't want to see anyone. I'm the greatest sinner. I stop eating from this day and only preach. I mean, I'm not so extreme, but sometimes quite extreme. And then I just dedicated myself to preaching, and these were the best lectures I have ever given, because I did them in the mood of a servant talking from talking about things which I clearly could see were relevant to the devotees, because I made the endeavor to see what do they need to understand to move forward, and it was just wonderful. So this drinking through the ears. Pibanti means drinking. Ye Bhagavata Atmana. Or hearing some Krishna Katha. Like the other day when Prabhupada said, talked about the spiritual world, how you can't distinguish between Krishna and Krishna's friends. If you look at the ornaments, because everyone is ornamented, and Prabhupada said, you will see when you go there. I was just so touched. I was thinking, yes, it's possible then. Good. My life has some hope now. And so on. So that please experience this. Please read the proper scriptures in your life. Please become inspired like this. And know... know that you need to improve on your listening. If you want to learn to associate with the ancient devotees and the modern devotees like Rupa Goswami and Haridas, if you want to go really to these volcanoes of bhakti, you need to learn to go from the intellectual information gathering listening, the manaha, to a deeper level. It's called where you listen with the heart, pray to them, a prayerful, and where something good comes in your heart by this hearing. Obviously, when you are with contemporary Vaishnavas, also listen very, very nicely. So you become enlivened in bhakti, that's awakened, then comes a second result, which I would say your ruchi starts. A very good example which is given in the Bhagavatam is Narada Muni, the servant of the four Bhaktivedantas, the four great souls. We hear from other Puranas it were actually the four Kumaras who visited Narada Muni's home, and Narada Muni served them and listened to them, and as a result Ruchi appeared in his heart, when his mother had left the body, the Ruchi drove him out of the home. It is the information is that when his mother had been bitten by the snake, the people of the village carried the mother into the dead body of the mother into the house of Narada Muni, where they lived. So Narada Muni had to cremate his mother. And do you know what he did? He was still a mere child. He took a torch and ignited the whole house. That was his funeral fire for his mother. He signified that he would no longer go into any house. He would become a wandering sadhu. He would give up life. He would not become a householder. he would just, he didn't need the house any longer. He would travel and chant Krishna Nama and preach. That was his dedication, and he did so, and so on. That means he had a tremendous amount of ruchi in his heart, a ruchi which gave him so much security that he could do without anything. Yesterday, I met two very nice young devotees who told me an experience. They had been on Govardhan Parikrama, or they had just been here, and they had seen these sadhus who possessed nothing yet possessed so much. They particularly said the sadhu had encouraged them by the light in their eyes, you know, that enthusiasm. And these young devotees concluded, we are really only fake devotees. We, with our jobs, our apartments, our three types of cooking pots, our colors for the ear and colors for the nose and colors for the eyes and colors for the everything in between, we are really only fake. They said like this. I wouldn't say that this is totally correct, but the effect which you have, which these devotees have feeling by sadhu sangha was a sense of detachment. No more colors for the cheeks and for the this and that. Maybe a little colors is required. I do not know these things so well. So this is the ruchi, the birth of ruchi takes place when you hear about Krishna Katha from the sadhus. That is the birth of ruchi. A third result when you hear good Krishna Katha is that lust goes away. There is this very wonderful verse, Vikriditam Vraja Vadhu Bhidam Chavishnu Shadanvito Nusrinayet Tatavanayet Ya. Bhaktim Parang Bhagavati Pailabhya Kamam Ritrogam Ashvapahinot Yachire Nadira. It is a verse which appears at the conclusion of the rasa, the chapters which describe the rasa dance in the 10th canto. It says, anyone who faithfully hears or describes the Lord's playful affairs with the young gopis of Vrindavan will attain the Lord's pure devotional service. Thus he will quickly become sober and conquer lust, the disease of the heart. And Prabhupada's comment in Chaitanya Charitamrita to this verse is, the activities of the gopis and Lord Krishna, if seriously understood, will certainly free one from material lust. Mm-hmm. Now, Jiva Goswami describes that certain Krishna katha for someone who has not the right adhika or qualification, they are watering the seeds of lust. In fact, we hear about Jagannath Das Babaji. Yes, the Jagannath Das Babaji was once approached by devotees who wanted to hear from him the Ashtakaliya Leelas. And he said, come back tomorrow. And then they came back tomorrow. He again postponed. And finally he said why he was unwilling to speak. He said, for a person who is not qualified, the nectarian rain of the Ashtakaliya Leela, the Nitya Leela, will water the seeds of lust which are still there in the heart and which then will start to sprout. This may explain many of the scandals in Radhakund, where Babaji is willing to renounce the world may have heard beyond their adhikar about very intimate leelas of Lord Krishna, and then felt the desire to embrace a Bengali widow unseen to anyone else. Hare Krishna. It's called religious polemics. Talking about the problems of others. We also have problems with the seeds of lust in our movement very much. But I just wanted to bring... But in our movement, we don't hear so much about the intimate leelas of Krishna. This was an example which I used to illustrate what Jagannath Das Babaji and Jiva Goswami warn us about. But nevertheless, after having spoken about eligibility, let us turn and see how we can hear Krishna Leela and with the right qualification. And in Krishna book, Prabhupada makes really 5 points what is necessary if to develop in our personality if we want to benefit from Krishna Leela fully. The first point is a devotee must be serious about the progressive advancement in Krishna consciousness. I so often see, and that's why I'm sometimes so nasty to my audience, that devotees lose this idea of progressive advancement. Progressive advancement means, I'm now here, how can I go to the next stage which is ahead of me? Sometimes we lose the roadmap, it seems, and we don't continue. Never lose the roadmap in Krishna consciousness. And look at it frequently. When Gaurahari and myself travel through the world in our Radha Sharanagati car, then we need the roadmap. When Gaurahari loses the roadmap, we don't know where we are going. So you must, in Krishna conscious life, be serious about your progressive advancement in Krishna consciousness. Now I'm here. Do I always want to be here? Or what would be the next stage for me? And how to attain it? Next point, which is the qualification to listen to Krishna Katha and be nourished by it, and so that not the wrong seeds should be nourished. He must be firmly fixed in understanding Krishna Tattva. We must know the truth of Krishna, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, how Krishna is the Ishvara, Parama Krishna, Sachidananda Vigraha, Anadi Adi Govinda, how he is the Ishvara, how he is the source of all sources. We must know the Bhagavad. Prabhupada also said, said the Gita is our foundation. No? We must know this. The third qualification, he must not feel sexual agitation upon reading a particular book. When you feel sexual agitation, what you experience is the wrong seeds have been watered by the katha, and now it's time for you to stop. Go out of that rainfall and go to the Bhagavad Gita rainfall or another rainfall, which will help the rights, your growth. Then fourth qualification is, he must hear these Krishna Leelas from the right source, an authorized spiritual master. I believe you all know about these points. I will not talk in detail about this point. This is just for the note takers. It's very important to hear from the right source. There may be so much nectar, but there is nectar which nourishes us, and that is from the authorized parampara in which we are trained. It's almost like a child. There may be so much mother milk. Mother milk of Taiwan mothers, of Chinese mothers, of Indian mothers. But if there is a little baby, only one mother milk is totally nourishing. That is his own mother's mother milk. there is everything he needs, because somehow it matches properly. So when we have taken initiation in a certain sampradaya, it will be that nourishment which will help us. I personally do think that when we have understood the sampradayic teachings, then it is good to sometimes know, okay, what is the perspective of Ramanuja, of Madhvacharya, what is here the perspective. It is, when you know where you are at home, you can make visits everywhere. But when you don't know where you are at home, you might become confused. New devotees who come to Vrindavan always become confused. And this person says, here, worship this Shila. This other person says, worship this, do this, come here, do he listen to this. And in the end, they go back to their ordinary jobs of shoe polishers. In other words, they don't nourish. You need some good nourishment, and that happens through the parampara. And the fifth qualification, by the way, that is the qualification which also Jiva Goswami says in, you must hear with Shradamrita. That means one who is trained in spiritual life and has developed his faith in Krishna. So when you hear like this, when you can listen to the pastimes of the playful affairs with the young gopis of Vrindavan, and you will see how the disease in your lust, in your heart, the disease of lust is conquered. This is the explanation which is given here. Hare Krishna. I thought that now is a good time to make a little pause. Do you agree with me? We have about 1 hour 10 minutes. We have gone. Let us please make a pause of 15 minutes, and then we will open that next session with a question and answer session. In the pause, you might think of some questions which have come to your mind, which you would like to ask.